Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on JTS Radio is to interview people who are making a positive difference in the world with transformational businesses, thoughts, ideas, and actions that encourage and inspire. My name is Taylor Tagg, and I'm a forgiveness coach certified by the Midwest Institute for Forgiveness Training and a certified Napoleon Hill Foundation leadership instructor. I teach people precisely how to let go of hurt and resentments, both big and small, releasing emotional pain and suffering to experience lasting peace, freedom, and personal success. To find out more about my work and my latest book, The Path to a Peaceful Heart, please visit me at TheEvolvingHeart.com and check out the website. And now into today's success story. My guest today is Jimmy Burgess. And Jimmy is the author of the book, What Just Happened? How to Bounce Back in Life So You Can Do More, Have More, and Be More. And he has enjoyed his share of business success. His success has included founding and building three different companies that achieve revenues in excess of $1 million. Now, like most people, he's faced extreme adversity financially, physically, and relationally along the way. And bouncing back from these adversities have led him to write the book, What Just Happened. Now, in the book, he reveals the seven steps he uncovered that he used and others have used throughout history to turn stumbling blocks into stepping stones. So we're excited to have Jimmy Burgess on the line on the show today with us. Jimmy, how are you?
I'm doing great, Ted. Thank you for having me.
Well, we appreciate it, and you've got such an interesting story here. I know for many of our listeners, they get excited about hearing people overcome adversities and turn it around into great success, and you sound like you have had a lot of success in your life. So just give us a little bit of idea of some of the struggles you've gone through and how everything began to turn around for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess I should start with the fact that I guess I was like a lot of people in the beginning. A number of years ago, I had a job where it was kind of I was making a living but not making a life, I guess you'd say, and it wasn't my passion. I loved the people I worked with, but the work just wasn't for me. But I knew at the end of the year I'd been being told that I was going to get this raise, and so I thought, well, maybe this raise is going to help me get a little more passion for the job. I'd be able to provide for my family more, and at the end of the year, it just didn't come, and that disappointment, actually, it was finally enough to where I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I decided that if things were going to change for me, I had to change from the inside, and I began to do that, and I began to just kind of pour into myself as much knowledge as I could, as much positivity, as much and as many inspirational stories as I could find, and that led me to leave that position at a bank as a commercial lender, and within a year, once I began to focus on the needs of others, things really changed financially for me in a hurry. Matter of fact, within the first year, my annual salary that I had at that bank ended up turning out to be my average monthly income. And within 2 years, it was my average biweekly income. But what happens when that money comes in so fast, Taylor, sometimes I lost calibration with who I really – I guess kind of got uncalibrated with who I really was. I began to get my pride involved, my ego got involved, began to make just crazy decisions because I felt like I was bulletproof, and that led to eventually just making bad decision after bad decision. And well, I'll never forget the day, May 4th, 2009. I'm sitting in the parking lot with my wife, with $500 cash to my name. I'm getting ready to have to walk into that federal court to claim bankruptcy, and I'm just sitting, and it's emotional, as you can imagine. I'm going, what happened? How could I just take this blessing that financially came in my life that should have set my family up forever and just throw it away, let my ego and my pride get involved? And, you know, when that happens, it doesn't happen immediately. You know, I just mentioned that date, but leading up to that, it doesn't just affect you financially either. You know, I mean, I think a lot of people forget that the opposite of being at ease is disease. And I suffered, you know, some physical setbacks where I was just incapacitated for a 3-month period through distress, because I can just remember sitting at my desk and the phone would ring, and it was probably as close as I ever got to, you know, having some type of a breakdown, because I would try to take those deep breaths and I couldn't even get a full breath because of the weight and the pressure and the stress. And I just remember that I got to a point where I said, you know, I've got to change this. I can't just sit here. I'd done it for 2 years, just sat there and wallowed in the pain and the anger and the stress of it, and I just finally decided I was going to get back to basics, and I began to flood my mind with the positivity. And I'm sure you've heard the big booming voice of Les Brown, the motivational speaker, before. Well, I had plugged one of his CDs in, and it was like he was talking to me. The first thing he says on this CD that day, and I was just overwhelmed that day with the stress and with the worry and the anxiety, and it just, his booming voice says, "Your struggle has not come to stay, it's come to pass." And it was like it hit me in my soul, and I began to realize that I couldn't control my past. There was nothing I could do about it. But I had complete control over where I was going in the future. And if I would take the lessons I had learned in the past and apply them and do the things that I had done in the past that led to success, that success would come again. And that's what happened. And so just 2 weeks after I came out of bankruptcy, I started a new company, and within a year we bounced back financially in a way that I didn't even think was possible, because I had a passion again for what I was doing. But it wasn't even the financial that was great. What I realized is I looked around, and all of a sudden, I've got the best relationship I've ever had with my wife and my kids. And all of a sudden, physically now, I'm in better shape at 43 than I was at 23. And so when things like that happen, you know, people start to notice it, and people would say, "What are you doing? What's going on?" Because a lot of us struggled, you know, during that time with the way the economy went. And I remember a few of my friends, I helped them. They said, "What can I do?" And we sat down and we formulated a plan of action. And they said, "You need to share this. You need to speak." And I spoke on this a few times, and people said, "You need to write." And next thing you know, I've got this book that's basically, after I went back and studied not just what I had done and what my friends had done, but what people had done throughout history, there's a pattern on overcoming these obstacles and using them to just push you to where you're supposed to be and what you're created to do. And so I'm excited to be here today to kind of share this message that if there is somebody that's in a struggle now, that this too shall pass. It hasn't come to stay. It's come to pass.
That's right. Like any storm, it can't hang around forever. It has to pass. But sometimes, you know, we get stuck in our own thoughts and our own mental grind, and it seems like the storm just hangs around forever. So can you give us a couple of tips or steps to help begin the process of bouncing back? You know, a lot of our listeners are probably in that situation. They've gone through some difficult adversity and just don't know how to get out of it. And you got to begin somewhere.
Right. Yeah. For me, it all starts with your attitude, obviously. And for me, I did it for 2 years. I would wake up every morning, and it was almost like, you know, when you first wake up and you realize what you think you have to face that day, and it's like somebody hits you in your stomach. You just have that ache. And when I began to decide that I was going to make a change, what I realized was that I had to begin to focus on positivity. And so what I did is I realized that all these things I was worried about, I had so many things to be thankful for. And I still do it today. I mean, even this morning, I try to start my day off this way. When I step out of bed every morning, and I do it this morning, when my first foot hits the floor, I say, "Thank." And when my second foot hits the floor, I say, "You." And I spend the next 5 to 10 minutes right after I wake up concentrating on the things that I'm excited about, things I'm thankful for, my family, my health, opportunity. Today I was thankful for the opportunity to share with your audience the possibility that they would be able to not have to struggle the way that I did. Once you begin to focus on those things, it really leads to changes that you don't realize. I personally, when I was in the worst place, I did it. What I did is I actually wrote down 40 things I was thankful for, and for 40 days I woke up each morning and I read that. Now, at the end of the 40 days, all of a sudden my focus had changed, because I believe that what we concentrate on, we begin to see more of it, and it expands. And I don't mean that in kind of a crazy way, but think of it this way. My wife, about 2 months ago, got a white Buick Rendezvous. Now, I'd never seen one of those, Ted. I really had never noticed them. Well, the day she got it, I'm driving down the road, and I'm like, "Is that her? There's a white Buick Rendezvous." And it wasn't her. And then I said, "Well, there's another one." And they were everywhere. And so it wasn't that they were all of a sudden, all these people were driving white Buick Rendezvous. They'd been there the whole time, but my focus had not been on white Buick Rendezvous. And I believe it's that same way with our consciousness and our thankfulness. Once we begin to start our day with thankfulness, we begin to realize and see all of the things that we have to be thankful for, and it just sets the tone for everything.
Yeah, it does, and I think you hit on a great point here. The first book I wrote called A Richer Sunrise was to really make that first hour the golden hour, right? And what you tend to focus on sets up for you throughout the rest of your day. So you kind of have to be on guard what you're allowing in your mind. If it's negative, then you're going to tend to find those things throughout the day. And if it's positive, well, you're going to find those things too. So again, it comes down to choice about what you're deciding to see in your life. And that's a great point. So what would you say is the single most destructive thing that most people do that keeps them from bouncing back quickly?
Well, I think that a lack of change, Taylor. I think we get so caught up, and we just for 2 years I would wake up and I would think the same way, I would see the same people, I would do the same things, and I'd wonder why things weren't changing. I really believe one of the most important things around us, and the things that we neglect is to realize that, I love the way Jim Rohn puts it, where he says that we're the average of the five people we spend the most time with. Now, that's physically, that's financially, spiritually, relationally, everything, stems from that. And what I realized when I finally got to the point where I was beginning to make changes is that probably the people that I was spending the most time with that had been there and kind of helped me in some ways or enabled me in some ways to make the decisions I made to put myself in the struggle I was in, that they were probably not the same people that were going to help me get out of it. And it wasn't that I needed to get rid of my friends, but I needed to bring new people in that could bring new insight to me. I just remember I humbled myself, and actually there was a man that I knew had struggled financially, and he'd come out of it. And I just went to him. He was a little older than me, and boy, it was a tough conversation, but I just said, I'm struggling here, and I know you've been through something similar. I just wanted to see if I could just spend some time with you and just kind of get a little bit of an idea of what you did. And he took me on. He was a mentor to me. And I think sometimes we have to see before we can be. And I had to see somebody that had walked through the struggle I was in and come out the other side stronger. And once I saw that, it really made a difference in my mentality to know that it could be done. And I just think that sometimes the biggest thing we do is we just keep doing the same things that got us in the mess and don't change anything. If we'll realize that and make some adjustments, then obviously things will begin to change as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for my own benefit, working with some of my clients, I see it that sometimes it hurts to change. Oh. And we wait for the other person to change it for us, but that's not going to ultimately get it done. We have to be able to make the change for ourselves. Right. I think you have to get yourself motivated where it hurts so much not to change, that you have to make a change in your life.
That's so true. So true. If you don't mind, I'll give you one good example about that. I think that when you get to a point where the pain not to change is bigger than the pain to stay in the struggle you're in, no matter what it is, whether it's business-wise, financial, relationally, whatever it is, that's when you can really make a change. I'll give you an example. And one of the reasons why I don't know if maybe some of your listeners have children or grandchildren, but I almost have one daughter that I believe that it's almost like God put her here to keep me and my moral compass where it should be, if that makes sense. I mean, it's almost like, and so I remember, and it was an ignorant habit, but I smoked for years. And I tried to hide it from my kids, and there's a point there. If you've got anything that you feel like you got to hide from somebody, you probably need to address it. But I had been trying to hide it. And my daughter got to be about 11 years old, and my wife came to me and said, "Your daughter wants to know why you're smoking, and you need to talk to her." And, our kids, they think we're perfect until we give them that final one day that they realize we're not, and I just hated to see it come, but this was that day. We were driving down the road, and I said, "Leah, I've got to tell you, I've got to apologize to you first off for trying to hide anything from you, and secondly, it's tough. I don't know what else to say." And she was emotional. I was emotional. And I just remember there was something that just happened inside me. And I pulled my truck over at that time. And I just looked her in the eyes, and her eyes were full of tears. And I said, "Libby, I'm about to tell you something. I'm about to quit smoking. And if I don't, you can question anything that I tell you going forward. And now let me tell you something. If you tell your kids that or anybody that's important to you that, you better be serious. But I had, in the next few days, the physical withdrawals of smoking, the physical pain, the crazy thoughts that go through your head in addiction when you're coming out of it, they were horrible. But it was nowhere near the pain when I thought about that if I were to go back, to have my daughter questioning me going forward. So, I mean, I don't know that you have to go to that extreme, but whatever it is that's holding you back or that you're facing, try to reframe it in a way to where the pain is more, it's more painful to stay doing what's been harmful to you or those around you, and all of a sudden you've got power that you didn't realize you had.
Absolutely. Well, absolutely, and I think that that's a characteristic of a lot of high achievers is they reframe their situation to allow it to work for them rather against them. And I know you talk about this in your book. You talk about some of the habits and characteristics that high achievers have in common. Would you share a few of those with us?
Yeah, I think you nailed it in your book when you talked about, how did you call it? You call it the golden hour, right? Is that what you call it, the first hour of the morning, getting
that's
everything
right.
prepared? Yeah, and see, that's exactly right. What I've found is that if we can control our morning, we have more control over our day. And what I've found is that during that first hour, I concentrate on what I'm thankful for. I personally believe, you know, that we're in a situation where we can set the tone for the day. And really there's three, and I talk about this in the book, there's really three areas of our lives that drive us. You know, the first is our spirituality. Whatever that means to you in the morning, for me, it's getting up and studying the Bible a little bit. And then it's framing my mind spiritually, growing that way. Physically, I go to the gym and work out because it sets my body, which is the tool that I use on a daily basis to go to my purpose and do the things that I need to do. And then obviously we need to grow mentally. And I do that through, like, your radio show, your book, things like that, things that are inspiring to me, listening to what other people have done to overcome struggles they're in or growing myself mentally. I think if you can start your day off by growing, all of a sudden you set the tone where you're not reacting to what's happening around you during the day. What's happening around you is reacting to you, and that's a huge difference. So I believe it's critical to get your day started in a positive way because it sets the tone for the rest of the day.
It absolutely does. I mean, you hit it right on the head. And I appreciate you, you know, talking about that. It's very, very important. And a lot of us are not even aware of what we're allowing in. You know, we turn the television on, it's all about who got shot, who's in jail, and all the bad stuff. But there's so much more to the world than just what's on the television. And I think it's okay to find out what the news is and what's going on in the world, but not allow that to just be the first thing that enters your mind every day. You got to be intentional about it and be on guard of what comes in. I think that's just a really, really important point.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I know you talk about as well in your book about how sometimes we're not able to move forward. We kind of get stuck, and we kind of focus on our past, and the past keeps coming up in our life over and over again. So what are some of your suggestions on how we can heal some of our old wounds that are holding us back from moving forward?
Ted, I think this is one of the biggest that we face is that until we get control and reframe our past in a way that we learn from it and get past it, that we can't move forward. And so one of the things that I've found is the biggest way to overcome whatever that wound is for you is to find someone, and they may only be two steps behind you in the process. You may have hit rock bottom and only climbed two rungs on the ladder, but somebody's two rungs behind you. And what I found is that the best way to heal the old wounds is to give somebody the encouragement that wherever they are, that you may not be completely healed yet, but that where they are, you've been there, and that that they can come out of that. It's amazing to me how the ability, just a perfect example, you and I talking right now, and the ability for me to have the opportunity to where, I mean, how does this happen where your mess becomes your message? You know, isn't that ironic? But when your mess becomes your message and you begin to help others come out of what you've been through, all of a sudden you can find as you said, you reframe it. You begin to put purpose to it, and you begin to think that maybe there was a reason for this, and maybe the short-term struggle I had is going to have a long-term benefit. And I love the way that I heard you say this one time in a speech where you said that it's amazing how your something that was the biggest weakness in your life can become your biggest strength. And I think that's so true. And the way that that does that is by you lifting other people up and by you giving other people the opportunity to not have to struggle as hard and in the same ways that you did.
And absolutely. I think that's a perfect example of how to turn something around so that it works for you. And I always tell people, I'm like, you know what, if you really want to change the game, you want to change your game, change one word in your vocabulary. You know, change the word TO to the life is happening to you. Instead, substitute FOR for life is happening for you instead of to you.
Okay.
It teaches you exactly what you need to know. And it's not random. It's not just out there just happening to you. It's happening for you to teach you something you really need to learn.
Absolutely. I completely agree.
So if you have any other advice for our listeners out there who are in the middle of our struggle and they just need some encouragement.
You know, here's the thing is to understand is that, you know, life has seasons. I understand that. Right now, I mean, I live in Northwest Florida, and we're not used to as cold as this winter has been, but I know without a shadow of a doubt that spring is right around the corner. Every year, spring comes after winter. And what I've realized through my life is that in those times of struggle, in those times of winter, it's not a matter of if spring is coming, it's a matter of when. And it may be a long, dark, cold winter. I know for me it was a long, dark, cold winter for a long time. But spring did come. And what's amazing is that a lot of times we stay in our struggle because we just kind of wallow in it. There's almost that ability that we have to bring spring along sooner, but we don't do it. So what I would do is I would encourage people to the same thing that I heard. Your struggle has not come to stay. It's come to pass. And the way to get out of that, there's a system and there's a way to do that. Just be encouraged that this too shall pass.
Absolutely. And you talk about that system in your book, What Just Happened, How to Bounce Back in Life so you can do more, have more, and be more. So if people are interested in your book and want to learn more about you, Jimmy, how can they get in contact with you and find out more about you?
Yeah, absolutely. My website is www.domorehavemorebemore.com. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/domorehavemorebemore. And I'm on Twitter at JimmyBurgess8. And the book, of course, you can get on Amazon with the Kindle or the print version. Just put my name in and you'll find it, or What Just Happened, the name of the book. Here's one thing I'm really excited about, though, Taylor, because I just completed this, is that, you know, I believe freely I've been given, freely I give. And so I have actually put together a 6-video series that's free training for anyone that's interested on where I go through each of the individual steps. And, of course, you can find information about the book on there also. But I think there's something that all of us are trying to overcome or that we're facing. So the name of the website is overcomingit.com, overcomingit.com. Go there. Enter your email address. Over a 7 to 10 day period, I'll send you these 6 videos of training of each of the individual steps in the book, and give you kind of a helpful tip on an action step that you can put into place that'll help start this process of recovery.
Oh, that's wonderful. Overcomingit.com. I love it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let me ask you a question, Jimmy. I know people who have read your book are excited about it. What have you found? What have been some of the mindset changes that you've seen in the people that have read your book and have taken it to heart? What's different with them now than before?
I think a lot of it is it's just the fact that they realize that they have more control than they thought. You know, I had someone that emailed me yesterday that said, you know what, I've been a victim for so long, and the steps when I started the process that I feel like I'm moving towards victory rather than being a victim. And I just think that the main thing that is so exciting to me is that something that took me 3 years can literally change in an instant. I think we all realize that there's something we can do, you know, right now that can just bring havoc to our life. I believe there are things that we can do right now that can change things for the positive also. And I would just encourage people just to take action. Do something. If it doesn't work, find something else. But sitting and doing the same things are going to get the same results. Try some things. And if you need a massive change, take massive action on making changes.
Well, that's great, great wisdom and great advice. And sometimes it's hard for us to take massive action. We don't know what that action is. And I know that's where you come in to give us some of the action steps on how to begin to heal and bounce back. Let me ask you about your book and the term bouncing back. Now, what does that mean to you to bounce back? Because I know that's a big part of what you write about.
Yeah, I think that all of us at times in our lives we hit a quote unquote bottom. In other words, there's a point where we hit bottom, and some people hit bottom and they just stay there. And some people tend to use it to propel them or to bounce. You know, if you take a basketball, for instance, and you just drop it, it will bounce up slightly. But if it comes down with force, it will bounce even higher. And what I found is that a lot of times the decisions that I've made in my life and some of the things, the self-inflicted struggles that I've had, I've driven myself in the ground to where I've got a chance that if I will use it and I will learn from it, that I can bounce back better and stronger. Here's another thing that I found is that, you know, if you were to break your arm heals, and that place where it broke, it comes back healed stronger than it was before it broke. And what I found is that the areas in my life that I had those wounds or that I had that broke, whether it be physically, whether it be mentally, whether it would be financially, if I allow them to heal properly, and there's a process in doing that, then I'm actually going to have that area of my life stronger than it was before I went through that. So what I try to encourage people to do is to understand that what you've been through can actually turn around and be something that sets you up to bounce back in a way that's better than you ever dreamed.
That's wonderful. That's fantastic. I love the bouncing ball analogy because it's true. It does come back up. It just depends on how hard and how much force and action you set it down.
That's right.
It's always going to come back up.
Right.
Well, wonderful. And so, Jimmy, last question for you as we conclude this interview. And any comments you want to make as far as that person who's in that struggle and what they can do action step-wise or just the next step for them in healing and recovery. And also, if you would, describe a little bit about, you know, what is the heart of what you do now? What gets you up every day to go out there and help people improve their lives? And what is it about that drives you to success?
Yeah, I appreciate that because, you know, what's really exciting is, as you tell other people also is that this is whatever it is, that person that's in the struggle right now, whatever struggle they may find themselves in, to understand that it's not come to stay, it's come to pass, and understand this. Here's what gets me excited each morning is that I believe inside of each of us there's a purpose. There's something we're supposed to do. There is something that each of your listeners, the people listening right now, there's something inside you that nobody ever had to teach you how to do, that you're naturally good at. Somewhere in that area is where your purpose is. And what I've also found is that our purpose is always bigger than us. If your purpose or what you wake up in the morning to do is to somehow promote yourself, odds are that that's not in line with what your true purpose is. So what I want to encourage people to do is to figure out what it is. I've found that dreams and purpose can lie dormant for years, but it never dies. I want to encourage people to get out there and reach back and realize and find the thing that excites you, find the thing in life that you could wake up in the morning you'd be excited to do. And what's great now is in the society we live in today is that you can Google whatever yours is that you get excited about, how to monetize whatever it is for you. And there's tons of training out there. But get back to your purpose, because when you get into your purpose, passion. And when you find passion, that's when success comes in whatever area you're in. So just get back to your purpose. Get back to your passion and understand that whatever struggle you're in now, maybe the reason you're there is because now you have the opportunity to make adjustments. Now that you have the opportunity to get back to your purpose. For me, when I hit rock bottom financially, I didn't have anything to lose anymore. So now I could get back to focused on what got me excited. So use that struggle and reframe it in a way that it gives you the ability to get to your true purpose.
Wow, well said, Jimmy. And once again, thank you to Jimmy Burgess for joining us today. And you're listening to Journey to Success Radio Network. Find out more about our network, visit us at journeytosuccessradio.com. And we will see you soon for our next amazing success story. Bye for now.